where'd you all eat lunch today? That's a big Sunday decision around our house after church. It's been kind of a given for years. Everyone seems to go out to eat Sunday after church for lunch. A trivial, frivolous decision, but nonetheless, one that takes great consideration. You know, we have to be gluten-free, heaven forbid I eat tortilla, I think I. That's all Mexican food. We have that already. Should we do takeout? We have to preach today. Maybe that'd be the quickest way to take out and go home. How about buffet? Barbara doesn't like buffets. A silly, trivial, frivolous decision. But nonetheless, a decision we had to make today. We make hundreds of choices, hundreds of decisions every day. I gripe and complain at work. Being a supervisor, it seems like I make way too many decisions. We make minuscule decisions, like where to eat lunch, which route do I take to work. We make major decisions, purchasing a home, moving, some that I'll discuss here in a minute. Sometimes we make good choices, sometimes we make bad choices. Back to the route to work. I know if I'm going to get off in McFarland around anywhere between 8-ish and 8:30, all the kids are out, it's probably best if I take the back road. So taking the back road on that day is a good decision. If I get there early, like almost 6 o'clock is, I'm going to go back to the town of McFarland, it's not bad. Or if I get off at 2:30 and I forget, and I go through McFarland, now bad decision because all the kids are getting out. That was a mistake. I was going to be driving, I don't even go through a this. Bad decision. But we know we've all made a great choice today. We've all made a great choice to get up this morning, getting ready, for coming to worship the Lord. We all made a great choice tonight by coming back here and worshiping the Lord again. If you'd like to turn to Proverbs, you can just kind of thumb your hand there in Proverbs, because that's where I'm going to take most of the scripture that we read tonight. So what I'm going to talk about is making choices, how they affect our lives, and how we can make better, wiser choices. And what better place to go in the book of Proverbs, or to take some of the wisdom that Solomon provides in there. So many of the verses will be coming from Proverbs. So real quick, we'll go over some of the major choices that we make in our lives that greatly affect us. And I won't really be the focus of what I want to talk about tonight, because many of you have already made these choices. And some of you haven't, and many younger ones obviously haven't. Some of those have made them already. But the number one choice, the most critical choice in our lives, is choosing Jesus. And most of us here have made that choice. This is the choice that will affect our lives more so than any other choice that we make. It's such an important choice that it will determine not only have effect on our lives here and now on this earth, but it will affect where we'll stay in eternity. It will have a bearing on every other decision that we make. And that's what I'm going to spend a little bit of time on later in the lesson, talking about that part. And we'll see that as we grow in our Christian walk, as we grow in our relationship with the Lord, we become more concerned with doing God's will and not our own will. And this right there is a huge key in leading us to make wiser decisions and less, and developing a less selfish decision-making process. So the number one thing we need to look at, the number one decision we'll make in our lives is choosing Jesus. Some other important decisions we'll make, choosing a career. Mitch mentioned it today and covered it very well in his lesson this morning. Kaylee is a huge dilemma right now. She's a senior, she's going to graduate, she's about to enter the real world. I remember when I was a kid, I thought I was going to be an architect with 2 years, well, in the first year of a two-year program at BC, the transfer to Cal Poly Pomona or SLO, we finally realized, man, I don't know, I'm going to be an architect. And little did I think at that time that I'd go be a physicist for 28 years. But that was that time in my life where I had to make that decision. I had to tell Kaylee, no, it's no joke, it's not an easy decision. Choosing a career is somewhat of a worldly decision, I guess, but it's an important one. It's a vital one. We have to sustain ourselves and our families, so it's the proper thing to do. But making the wrong decision could lead to financial ruin. It could lead to unhappiness. No one wants to be stuck in a job that they just despise and hate. It has a lasting effect on your marriage and your family. When I worked at the Ashby for 12 years, the last couple years when I promoted up there, I was leaving at 6 in the morning, getting home at 6 at night, still doing 2 hours of work and leaving the family. And it got to be an effect on our family life. And then I eventually made a big decision in my life and made a big career move and left after being there from the beginning for 12 years. I found a little country place out in the farm. It's a lot slower pace, and I can spend time with my family. And ultimately, it was a wise move. But I've experienced those effects where work takes away from your family life. And not only that, it takes away such cool from my Christian life. Look at 1 Timothy 6. Chapter 6, verse 6 and 10. It says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from their faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. As Mitch mentioned this morning, you have to be careful. Obviously, a career is a wise choice. You have to have a career. You have to be careful what you do with your earnings. You need to be cognizant of what you do with that money. You need to take care of your family. You need to give to the church. You have to be careful how you use your earnings and not get caught up with the accumulation of wealth. Unfortunately, the world humanistic view of getting a career, I don't get a career, I don't make money. I've always admired a person who doesn't really focus on money, but the fact that he loves his job. Another big thing to make, decision to make is choosing a mate. Proverbs 12:4 says, an excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who caused shame is like rottenness in his bones. I can remember, I've done Bible before, it wasn't like I first met her, but we've gone to Bible camp and stuff as a kid. And I do remember that first time I asked her out on a date at Westside Church of Christ, out in the little foyer lobby there. She had a cast on her leg, she had broken her leg in a hang by an accident. I kid you not. You can ask her about that later. Hang by an accident, hold her. And since that day, I've been blessed by having a wonderful Christian woman in my life, and it's been a blessing to me. And I'm thankful for that. And it's very important that we strive to find a Christian mate. It doesn't always happen. But finding a mate will determine to a great extent our level of happiness. It has a permanent bearing on our children and their emotional well-being. The problem with marriage kind of seems like it's becoming a dying institution. I don't know if people are waiting until they get older, they want to do their career first and do that, and you see people getting married later. It's become convoluted with divorce and homosexuality. Some people, I don't think marriage means anything anymore. I won't even get into the homosexual part of marriage. But, you know, Malachi talks about the Lord hates divorce, and many times people are quick to go, I want to quit divorce. Unfortunately, what happens, Satan gets a hold of people. He gets a hold of the marriages of two ways to meet. There's two parties in there. Satan gets his grasp on someone, and unfortunately results in many wonderful, I've witnessed many wonderful Christian victims of divorce, and spiritual divorce. So choosing our mates wisely is something that we need to spend heavy thought on. Choosing your friends. In the past, I hadn't always made the wisest choices there, maybe many years ago. Many of those friends I had when I was 18, 19, 20, there's a few of them I still keep in contact with, and a few of them, Lord knows where they are, what they're doing. And some of those I talked to on occasion, they've done good for themselves. but you have to be careful who you associate with. Having close friends can be a blessing. We'll talk in a minute here about suggestions for helping you make a decision. One of the things you can do is seek counsel, seek advice. And a lot of us that have close friends, it's a great resource to seek advice and making decisions. But we have to be careful who we associate with, as the wrong friends can be a curse. Back in Proverbs, the 12th chapter, verse 26, it says, "The righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray." And that is, a real quick way to get led astray is by your friends, your non-Christian friends. So we need to take heed when we're choosing our friends. How about choosing where to live? There's no better example of that than Lot. Back in Genesis, around the 13th chapter, we know that Lot and Abram had traveled together, and they reached a point where they both had too much livestock, too many slaves, and they decided they had to separate ways. And then in chapter 15, verse 10 through 11, it says, "Lot looked and saw that the whole plain of Jordan was well watered, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt towards Zoar." This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot chose for himself the whole plain of the Jordan and set out toward the east. The two men parted company. On the outside, it looks like appears to be a wise, sound business. Land for their livestock, water, plenty of water. Not at all how much Lot knew about Sodom and Gomorrah. I don't know if you're familiar with it. Genesis 13:13 says that the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinned against the Lord. So it was a poor moral decision. So we have to think about the answer of where we're going to live. I almost moved in years ago. Before I started coming out here, there's some things. It's very poor room. I was with a friend from Tulsa Bay Prison. And we went up there, we looked around, I toured the prison, and decided it wasn't for us. Funny story, when we went up there, we drove around the little town across the city where the prison is, and we saw Church of Christ. Church of Christ. So we drove in there. There's a little minivan there and a couple of little cars. Man, let's see someone here. That's a preacher. Let's go talk to them. Because that was one of the things. I wanted to find someone to worship. I walked in there, and there was three guys in there, and the drum set, and guitar and amplifiers, and I walked in and kind of looked at it for me, and I told them we were maybe relocating, looking at moving, and yeah, he saw me looking at the musical instruments, kind of funny. He's like, "Well, I tell you what, if you're from one of those Church of Christ that's off the hell and doesn't believe in music, you're not going to want to hear." Okay, thanks. So we ended up going to church the following Sunday at the border, right on the border, and a real small church, and someone asked what we were doing there, and I explained we were kind of looking at maybe possibly moving, and I told them what it did, and they said, "Oh my gosh, you need to talk about it. Gladys, come here. Well, Gladys was there. Well, she was the warden secretary, and so she took good care of me. She walked me and met the warden and all that stuff. But what ultimately came down to in that decision was Caleb was getting ready to go to high school, and Hannah was getting ready to be in junior high. I thought it would be a good time to transition to us. My girls were kind of quiet. They're not real outgoing, so I'm like, you know what? That's a scapegoat if I don't want to go home. I don't do that for us. But I don't know that moving was the wisest choice for us, and we didn't. That's something to think about. This transition. So you see all these major choices that we're going to have to make in our life. Like I say, many of them, moving may get moved once, twice, three times. That may affect you several times. Friends, finding new friends. Let's look at some suggestions. Some ways to make wise decisions. The number one thing is always the number one answer. What does the Bible say? They always have this fear. And I always tell people, "Hey, can you stuff yourself up the Bible?" I always have this fear like Randy's going to call me Sunday morning to class and catch me, you know, not paying attention. Yeah, the Bible. It's always a good answer. So what does the Bible say? We're in the process of putting solar panels on. I don't know whether I should read more or not. We pretty much solved all that. But the Bible didn't tell me specifically whether I should read solar panels or buy solar panels. You know, there's something in Habakkuk, the second chapter, but no specific thing in there about buying or renting solar panels. And the Bible isn't designed specific in that way, but it will give us wisdom. Okay? And I have to rely on some other resources when I'm looking at granted by solar panels. But although I guarantee you, all those key life decisions I just spoke about, there's plenty of scripture in there about those. Okay? There's plenty of scripture that will give us wisdom to help make the right decisions. Psalms 119, verse 105, it says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet, a light for my path." So imagine driving 65 miles per hour down the road at night without headlights. Bad decision. I probably was not coming home from my night job out there, going down the circuit road, dark farm area, turn my lights off, just to see what would happen if my, I lost power, to see what's going on. And I quickly turned it back on because it wasn't a wise decision. Just like that, living life without the illumination of God's word is also a bad decision. This right here is the minor path. This is the guide of our walk on this earth. If you turn it off and not use the illumination that provides the bad decision. Look at the instructions. God's put together some IKEA beginner team to stand. And I'm not going to know the directions. Okay, and all of a sudden, one side's shorter than the other. It's kind of wobbly. It's not very structurally sound. This right here doesn't like it. Our Creator, God, gave this to us as an instruction manual. Okay? This is our Creator's instruction manual provided to us on how to live our life. So it's just foolish not to use it. So we have to use God's Word and seek what God's Word tells us to do. The other good answer? Prayer. Okay? When we pray, we have to ask God for wisdom. You've probably heard that. If you don't ask. Okay? Well, I've just hired two new counselors out there where I work at. And I have to tell them, don't be afraid to ask questions. Okay, sometimes I'm standoffish and I'm busy, but no, come, ask questions. James 1, 5 and 6, it says, "If anyone of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like the wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind." When we pray, we need to pray not for necessarily the removal of the situation or the removal of affliction, but we need to pray for the wisdom to learn how to deal with it. We need to pray for wisdom to guide us in our choices, and pray for wisdom in how to deal with life's issues. Back to Proverbs 2, 1 through 9. Proverbs 2, 1 through 9 says, "My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, train your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, and if you call out for insight, you cry out for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver, and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth came knowledge and understanding. He holds victory in store for the upright. He is shield to those who walk is blameless, for he guards the course of the just, takes away the faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair, and every good path." Wisdom from the Lord will lead us down the right path. No one can come back to that right path anymore. The wisdom will help us make good moral decisions. Another thing, what does our conscience say? Okay, conscience is not to be confused with the Holy Spirit, but conscience is basically, everyone has a conscience. Some people's conscience isn't so good. But everyone has a conscience, but only those that accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior have the Holy Spirit. But conscience is based upon a value system that we have developed for ourselves. And if you can find that the more worldly someone is, the more worldly their conscience, the more worldly their decisions are going to be. But the more we spend time in God's Word, the more we spend time in prayer, then the more our value system, the more our conscience is going to reflect the will of Christ. And I think that will be seen in our decisions when we look at our conscience. So if after seeking God in prayer, after spending time in God's Word, you've made your decision in a certain situation, and it's just not sitting right with your conscience, that's probably a telltale sign that maybe I'm not making the right choice in this particular decision. Another thing we need to be willing to do is ask others for advice. Back to my solar panels. I apologize if I'm being bugged. I can't get a solar panel. Would you buy it? Amen. If you have solar panels, hold on, I've been bugging about that. But yeah, I've been talking to people. I talked to the crack addict on the corner and was sort of bucket off the booze, like, hey, what kind of solar are you running? Not really. But do I want to talk to people that have experience it, that have gone through it and have solar panels? Yeah, I want to seek some advice from someone who's gone through it. And solar panel, I'm going to say it's a trivial decision. It's kind of a big decision, but nothing really important per se. But what about those more important decisions? Choosing a mate? Is it wise to seek advice? Yeah. When I have those decisions, those big decisions or spiritual decisions, I always confided in my grandpa. He was always someone I could talk to, a wonderful Christian man, and I'd go spend time with him. But the Bible tells us again in Proverbs 11:14, where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. If you go about almost exactly one chapter more in Proverbs 12:15, it says, the way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. So it's important that we seek counsel. We kind of talked about who you seek counsel from. One of our has had experience. You might seek counsel with Barbara. Most of the things you do is a major decision. I grant by Barbara, if it was something, a bad decision, I probably would heed her counsel. How about the wealth and knowledge that's right here in this congregation as we sit here now? We have a vast maturity of Christian knowledge in here right now. When you have something in the heart, a matter of the heart, or something in your Christian life, who better than to ask someone here, ask the elders. Seek advice from others. Think about, could the choice have a negative effect on me or someone else? With me working in the prison for 26 years, I was a criminal. So I'm thinking, a criminal has no care on what effects his decisions have on him or other people. Any type of violation of the law is common, but it's just easy to give all in that situation. And their conscience isn't where it should be. 1 Corinthians 8:13 says, therefore, if what I eat causes my brother to fall into sin, I will never eat meat again, so that I will not cause him to fall. Sometimes we have to be willing to sacrifice our own self-indulgence so as not to have a negative effect on others. Something that personally for me might not seem to be that, I've got that issue, that's not a problem for me, but I do it around someone else who does struggle with that. If I went out tomorrow and called them sick and would bother me for a bed, that'd be cool. But I would also put my family in jeopardy because I probably have to send the girls home to college, can't pay that anymore. Hey, it's beans and gluten-free tortillas for the rest of the month to eat because we don't have any more money. So obviously going out last court, that would be a bad decision, and it would jeopardize those of my family by my financial stupidity. I'm not saying apply for the best financial stupidity for me. It's the first thing I did for the lobby, but I don't have other tickets. Let's go back to pathways. Okay, I mentioned pathways and taking paths. The Bible often uses the analogy of pathways. We often refer to Christian walk and set up here tonight. A path through this earth and whatnot. So there's that analogy of pathway. Let's look at Proverbs 14:2. Again, right there in the center of the problem. Proverbs 14:2 says, there is a path before each person that seems right, but it is death. If someone thought their long good path seems like the right path, probably if you think that path is probably the easy path, it seems right. Not a lot of struggle on that path could lead to death. Now compare that to the one we all know well, probably, Matthew 7:13-14. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. It's natural to take the easiest path. You know, I don't like doing things the hard way. Think of how water flows. Water doesn't really flow uphill. Water doesn't, it does have some natural tendencies, but for the most part, water is going to flow down. It's going to flow in the most simple way that it can flow. Human nature is to take the easiest path. At work, we've got a bunch of new things that we're doing, a bunch of new programs, a bunch of new learning for even a guy like me. My counterpart, me, I'll take the minimals. I'll take these big old thick minimals, and here's a new program I'll read through, I'll try to get an understanding, I'll call a couple of buddies and seek advice. How you guys reading this? What do you take? I didn't know my buddy, my counterpart at the other facility, he gets the minimals, he glances at it a little quicker, he immediately goes into his computer and starts making some kind of database and some kind of program. That involves an hour of data input every day, and when it comes down to it, he spends too much time on that, and then really figure out how simple the policy is, and always make things way too hard. I have a tendency to try to make things as easy as I can. We've got to be careful when we make the decisions. So yeah, the easiest way pretty much seems to be logical. The easiest way is not always right. I'm pretty much guaranteed the right way probably isn't going to be the easiest way. Now, when we make these decisions, we all make mistakes. We all make bad choices. So what do we do? How do we recover? Let's take a quick look at David. David's decision to commit adultery with Bathsheba. And ultimately, that decision in David's life caused him a lot of pain. He lost the infant son that was God with him in Bathsheba. And then from there, it just led to an openness of several wives, concubines, whatever, that led to just family turmoil for David. One of David's sons, Amnon, rapes his half-sister Tamar. Tamar's brother Absalom then goes after Amnon and vengeance and kills him. So you have two of David's sons with different mothers killing one another because he had raped one of his sisters. And Absalom actually ends up leading a rebellion against David, shaming him publicly. And then ultimately Absalom is killed by David's men chasing him off, and he gets caught in a tree, kind of weird. The way he died. We were talking, I think it was a group's class this morning, we were talking about family and contact with families, can you choose your family? David had some messed up family situations. What did David do? He grieved a lot. But David was remorseful, and David pleaded to God for forgiveness. That's one thing we need to do. We need to be remorseful in our bad choices. We need to pray to God for forgiveness. Look at Lot. We talked about Sodom and Gomorrah. When it finally came down to it, Lot finally did what the angels had told him. The two men came in and said, get out of here. He finally fled. He heeded the word of God and he fled. His wife, she looked back. We don't know what happened to his wife. It turns into a total assault. Once we flee and get out of that wrong decision, we can't look back. I think that's what Lot's wife did. She only looked back and said, oh, wow, we're leaving all those years we had there. She looked back. She was done. So once we flee from that bad choice, that bad decision, we can't look back. We have to move on. Put it behind you. Look at Peter. Peter denied Christ three times, just as God and Christ predicted he would do. But then in the 21st chapter of John, we see where God comes back after the resurrection and appears before the disciple. Peter makes himself right with the Lord. The Lord asks him like three times, do you love me? And Peter repented, and Peter served relentlessly. And he was an advocate at the onset of the gospel, and he focused his time on that. So he repented and he served the Lord relentlessly. Look at Paul. You know, Paul was not a Christian. He was a persecutor of Christians. Paul was technically, before he became a Christian, an awful man, but with all Christians feared. But when he made his conversion, he was willing to accept God's forgiveness. 1 Timothy, the first chapter, verse 12 and 16, I'll quote. I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service. You know I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and violent man, I was shown mercy, because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. There is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who believe on him and receive eternal life. And so Paul accepted the forgiveness, he made his conversion, then he determined to live the rest of his life to the best of his abilities for the Lord. Something we can't do, or we cannot continue to remain in the bad choice. Okay? We have to fess up to that bad choice, and we have to agree to move on. We can't get stuck in that bad choice and say, well, everyone's going to give me a hard time if I back out now. Because of pride, I'm going to continue to do what I'm doing because, yeah, this was right. Okay? Don't let pride get involved in it. If you realize you made the wrong choice, get out of it. Flee from it. So don't let pride get in the way of a bad choice. Do not wallow in self-pity and guilt. And remember, God forgives. God forgives us and move on. So I hope those that have given you some things to think about, seeking counsel, obviously going to God's Word, going to the Bible, going to prayer. I think when we spend time with God's Word, we spend time in prayer and seeking counsel of those that have gone through those experiences before, it ultimately can help us make better, wiser decisions in those choices. Don't really care about what way I go to work or whether or not I buy it from the rent solar panels or what I have for lunch. We're talking about those life-altering choices, those things that weigh heavy in our heart, those things that really are big choices. I think if we approach it this way, I think we can try to make the most sound, wisest choices. We can't take the process and make the decision lightly. We have to stay constant in God's Word. We have to pray for strength in our relationship with Him. And I think when we do, our decisions will be more Christ-like and less self-centered. So one of the main things I said, and the most critical choice we have to make is accepting the Lord Jesus. And I realize most of us here probably made that critical life decision and followed and accepted the Lord Jesus Christ in baptism. But if tonight, if you need to repent for wrong choices, or maybe you need to ask for the prayers of the church for wisdom in the current situation you're in, or if you do want to accept the Lord in baptism tonight, or if you need the assistance of the church in any of these types of matters, go ahead and come out as we stand and sing.